Today's daf is Erevin daf Samachay. On today's daf, we're going to discuss the following issues. First, we're going to go through yesterday's daf was all about drinking, about someone who's Shui Yayin al Yorah, he's not allowed to be Mispalel. So, we're going to discuss whether a drunk person is exempt from mitzvos and what he should do when it comes time to daven if he has drunk wine. Then, we're going to go into the kind of kavana necessary to paskin, the kind of kavana, the kind of clarity of das necessary for a person to learn. And it's going to list the practice of several Amoraim in terms of whether they would learn mostly during the daytime, mostly during the nighttime, how they would try to schedule their day. The Gemara then lists six positive things that can be accomplished using wine, probably because after listing all the negative things that wine accomplishes, so it's important to discuss why HaKadosh Baruch Hu put wine in this world, and there are six positive things that wine could be used for. We then go back to discussing how to deal, we go back to Erevin on Amud Beis. So on Amud Beis, we go back to discussing how to deal with a non-Jew who lives in the Chatzer but has no interest in renting out his space to us, and we try to figure out which opinion in Tanoim Rav held, like whether it was Reb Meir, Reb Lazar ben Yaakov, in terms of one Jew living with one non-Jew. Then the daf concludes with a discussion whether renting the space of a non-Jewish resident from his landlord, his non-Jewish landlord, is enough to be matir carrying in a chatzer. If, after all, the landlord doesn't live there, what kind of rights does the landlord need to have in the space for him to be entitled to rent out the space on behalf of the tenant who's unwilling or unable or unavailable to rent out the space? So we left off on Daf Samach Dalit Amud Beis. We are toward the end of the page, Omar Mar, about 5-6 lines before the end, where we had told the story of Rabbi Gamliel yesterday, and we said that there are 7 lessons that can be learned from the story of Rabbi Gamliel, 3 from the first part of the story, 4 from the second part of the story. So we're going to go back to one of the lessons that we learned from that story is Omar Mar Ve'in Ma'avirin Ala Ochlin. One of the lessons that we learned is that you're not supposed to pass by food. If you see food on the floor, you don't just walk by it, you pick up the food, because as he was riding by and he saw the food on the floor, he told Rabbi Eloi to go pick up the food that was on the floor. So we see that Ein Ma'avirin Ala Ochlin. So Amar Rabbi Yochum Mishum Rabbi Shum Ben Yochai Lo Shanuel Bedoros HaRishonim Shem Ben Yisrael Prutos Pekshafim. That's only in the earlier generations when the Bnos Yisrael weren't all involved in Kishuf. Aval Bedoros HaKronim Shem Ben Yisrael Prutos Pekshafim. But in the later generations, when Rachman Al-Tzlan, the Bnos Yisrael, were all involved in practicing different sorts of Kishuf, Ma'avirin, then you should pass by the food, don't pick up the food, because it's likely that Kishuf was done with the food. It's considered something that Nasas Bo Avera, and Avera was done with it, so you don't want to pick up that food. Tana Shleiman Ma'avirin, Psisin Ein Ma'avirin. But we were taught that if it's a full piece of bread, if it's a full loaf of bread, then you pass by, but if it's broken up pieces of bread, then you don't pass it by, you're supposed to pick it up. Apparently the kishuf was only done on full loaves of bread. So Amalei Ravasi the Ravashi Vapsisin lo avdan Vaksi Vatchalana Osi Alami Bshalish Saorim Ubsuselechem. So don't you see that they did kishuf even on psuselechem, even on they did kishuf even on little pieces of bread? So answer Gemara de Shakli Ba'agrayu. As Rashi says, Psilche Lechem Lasos Kshafim Midvarim Acherim, that they would take the little pieces of bread as their schar, as their payment for doing kishuv on other things. And that's what the pasuk is talking about, that they had pisus elechem, but not that they would do kishuv on pisus elechem. They wouldn't do kishuv on little pieces. The kishuv would only be done on the full loaves of bread, but they would take as their payment little pieces of bread. So a couple of things over here. First of all, Rashi over here says that anytime it's not over here, Rashi in a couple of places in Shas, he discusses why it is that Rabbi Shimon is sometimes called, well, a couple of things. First of all, why does it sometimes say Amar so-and-so, Amar in the name of another person? Sometimes it says, like over here, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. When do we say Amar and when do we say Mishum? So Rashi in Masechet Chulin writes that anytime it says Mishum, it's someone's quoting from in the name of somebody that he didn't hear it directly from his mouth, he heard it as hearsay from somebody else who said it in the name of so-and-so. That's what the word Mishum means. The Rashbam in Maseches Basra Daf Kuf Yudalit, however, says that no, when a Talmud says a Shmua Mipi Rabbo, who's not his Rebbe Mufak, then we say Mishum. When it's B'Shem Rabbo Mufak, it's Omar. It would be Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Omar Rabbi Yanai, because that's his Rebbe Mufak. The Rambam in the Akdamah to the Perish HaMishnayis has a third understanding. He says, whenever it says Omar Rabbi Ploni, Mishum Rabbi Ploni, the Kavanah always that that person was his Rebbe. That Mishum indicates that Adafka was his Rebbe, and that at least in Tanoim we would say that way. Maybe not in Amorim, but at least in Tanoim we would say that that means that it was his Rebbe. Then a fourth approach in the Kitzur Klalei HaTalmud, he quotes over here in the Yalkut Birim, the Kitzur Klalei HaTalmud, he explains that whenever it says Amrab Ploni, that's when they were both equal. They both not both equal, they both thought of the same svara. But when it says Amrab Ploni Mishum Rab Ploni, it sounds like he doesn't agree with him. I mean, it's a question of whether they agree or they're just saying it in his name, but they don't necessarily agree. So that's one issue, just in terms of stylistically over here. Another stylistic issue that came up over here is the Gemara quotes Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Now, Rabbi Shimon Stam in Ol Hashas is Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Yet sometimes he's called Rabbi Shimon, and sometimes he's called Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. So again, he quotes here from the Ben Yochai in the Shara Rishon, and asks on the Masadrei HaTalmud, why is it that sometimes he's called Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, sometimes he's just called Rabbi Shimon Stam? Why don't we just pick one name and call him that name throughout Shas? Call him Rabbi Shimon because that's the shorter way to call him. We'll call him Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai because that's Meirov Pirsuma, because that's the more famous name, or the one that we associate with more famous stories. And furthermore, the Gemara Maseches Shabbos talks about the godless, and Shabbos Daf Lamed and Gimel talks about the godless of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai when he came out of the Ma'ara, that he was able to be Meshiv 24 Terutzim on every Kasha that Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair would ask him, and he was Mitar the Makom that was a Suffolk Tame for several generations. So why don't we always pass the Halacha like him? If after all he was so great, he was the greatest of his generation, so why don't we always pass the Halacha like Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai? We learned on just a few weeks ago, Rabbi Shimon of Rabbi Yossi, the rule is Halacha k'Rabbi Yossi over Rabbi Shimon. Why is the Halacha like Rabbi Yossi? And furthermore, the Gemara in Shabbos says, the Rabbi Yehuda says, anyone who's more Halacha like Rabbi Shimon is Makulal. It's not a good thing to paskin like Rabbi Shimon. And furthermore, the Gemara says that when we bring something from Rabbi Shimon, so the Gemara has an expression, V'chein ho'yer b'Shimon ben Yochai Omer. The Gemara says in one or two places that so too in Rosh Hashanah Dav Dalet, we quote Rabbi Shimon says something and says V'chein ho'yer b'Shimon ben Yochai Omer. But wait a second, Rabbi Shimon is Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. So how could you say Rabbi Shimon says something, and not only did Rabbi Shimon say, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai also said it. So he has an interesting approach. He suggests that this is from the Sefer Ben Yochai. He suggests that the Maisa in the Ma'ara is the turning point. That what happened in the Ma'ara, in that cave, is the turning point in his life. He was called Rabbi Shimon up until that Maisa, and after he left the Ma'ara, he was called Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. And that's what it seems to indicate in the sugya over there, that first it says that B'Yavna, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon sat, and then after he goes into the Ma'ara, it says that Ba'al Yo and Elio came and said, Man lo de le Bar Yochai, who's going to tell Bar Yochai to come out of the cave? And the Ma'ara in Shabbos, Taf Lam Dal, it also says, after he was Mitar, the city from all the Tuma, so he says, the Gemara says, Tir ben Yochai, that Ben Yochai was Mitar the Beis HaKvaros. So he says, maybe that's the turning point. Maybe that's why we understand. We don't pass like Rabbi Shimon, because when Rabbi Shimon before the Ma'ara was still not the great, he hadn't achieved his greatness until the fullest extent, and we wouldn't pass like him before the Ma'ara. And that's why the Gemara in several places quotes, V'chein ho'yer Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai Omer, that if we quote something from Rabbi Shimon earlier in his life, so we say, yeah, not only did it say as Rabbi Shimon, even when he was Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai, he continued to say that way. To tell us that even after the Ma'ara, he would still hold that way. Just an interesting note. I never really paid any attention to the difference of when we call him Rabbi Shimon, when we call him Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Okay, Vaitu in the Gemara. So on the bottom line, Amar Rav Chesh Mishum Rav Lozer ben Azariah, Yochla ni liftos kol olam kulo min adin miyom shachar beis hamikdash v'yad achshav. He says, I could exempt the whole world min adin from the day the beis hamikdash was destroyed until now. Shneamar l'chein shimi nazos aniyah v'shikores v'lo miyayin, that we're drunk but not from wine. Meaning the point is that we could exempt everybody from din because Nebuch, all the tzaros make us like we're not bnei das because of all the tzaros that Klal Yisrael suffers. We're like drunk but not from wine. But wait a second, even if we are drunk, but a drunk person is responsible for what he does. His transactions are viable transactions. If he does averos, he gets punished for those averos. Kol shadavar, Hareu kipikeach, we call devarav. The rule is that he's considered like a regular person. He gets punished like a regular person. Everything is like a regular person. Elisha pater min atfila. The only difference is that he's pater from tfila, that he doesn't have to daven. So mayachalni lifter de kamer nami midin tfila. So he says, yeah, that's what I meant. When I said that I could exempt everybody from din, it didn't mean from din. I meant from tfila, that everyone could be exempt from tfila because we're all nebuch so drunk from our tzaras that we're not able to daven properly. That's only if you're not so drunk that you're at shechruso shalot. Aval gish shechruso shalot pater mikulam. But if a person got to the point of shechruso shalot, then he's completely pater from everything. So what is shechruso shalot? How are we magdir? What's shechruso shalot? Where a person becomes pater for all averus that he does, and he's pater, and his transactions aren't valid. Wherever everything is considered as if it's not him anymore. So the Rambam writes in Hilchus Mechira, Perchav Tes Alach Yirches, that it's someone who does things and he doesn't know what he's doing. He has no idea what he's doing at any given moment. That's Shechruso Shalot. From Mari Bronan, Chuvus Mari Bronan, Simresh Samachai, it seems that after he sobers up, he doesn't remember what he did, that's Shechruso Shalot. If he still remembers what he did, that's not Shechruso Shalot. Why? Where would he get that idea from? So he got it from the Chumash. Pasuk says in Bereishis Parikutas Pasuk Lamin Gimel V'lo Yada B'Shachva V'Koma, that Lot slept with his daughters and he didn't know what happened afterwards. He had no idea what had gone on because he didn't know what had gone on. So that's the definition of Shechrus Shalot. Does that count as Daf Yomi coincidence? We're going to read Rus in a few days. So that was where Rus came from that Maisu with Lot. I don't know. So then the Rabbi Yaakov Emden is a third possibility. We'll count it, right? Might as well. We've been more makel with that in the past. Rabbi Yaakov Emden has a third possibility. Yaakov Emden suggests that a shikr that's not higish l'shekruso shalot is what the Gemara referred to in yesterday's daf. The difference between a shasui and a shikr, that a shasui is someone not higish l'shekruso shalot, someone who's able to be medaber l'fnei ha-melech. Someone who's higish l'shekruso shalot means what we called a shikr in yesterday's daf, someone who's not able to be medaber l'fnei ha-melech. So a much lesser standard in terms of what it takes to be shekruso shalot, just someone who's not able to get up and speak in front of a king. Now the Marshal writes that, wait a second, someone who's magil shechrus shalot, we just said he's potter from everything. So if he damages somebody, if he causes damage to a person or to property, is he potter from that also, or do we then invoke adamu al diolam, that whatever a person does, he's always responsible for everything that he did? So the Marshal in Yamshul Shlom in Sechus Baba Kama says that even though a shikr that higil shechrus shalot is potter from onish beizdin for an avera that he had done, but if he's mazik his chaver, then certainly during his state of drunkenness, he certainly has to pay for it, because adam wad li'olam, he's chayv and tashlumei nezek. Even if a person is sleeping and he's a shogeg or he's ones, a person is chayv. Adam wad li'olam is a very powerful thing. Tosfos Masechet Baba Kama discusses a sleeping person. It's a stira, because Yerushalmi seems to say that he's not chayv for what he does when he's sleeping, but Tosfos points out it makes a difference how the damage happened. If he went to sleep in a perfectly clear area and there was nothing doing there, and then someone came and put something fragile next to him, and in his sleep he rolled over and he broke the item, then he's going to be potter. But if he went to sleep next to something that was breakable, and then in his sleep he rolled over and he broke it, then he's going to be chayv. But typically, even though he has no das when he's sleeping, right? That's what we said yesterday from the Rama from Mary Brona, that a person wants to be mekayim on Purim, adlo yada ben arham baruch Mordechai, and they should go to sleep. But the Rambam says also that he should, if he falls asleep, it's shechruso, so he's mekayim the mitzvah adlo yada. That person has no das when he's sleeping. A person is a shogeg and ones. He's far removed from having any sort of kavana. He's still chayiv for his nezek. So a person who's a shikr is also chayiv for his nezek, even if he's even if he's drunk and he's not aware of what he's doing. And Marshal just adds, because otherwise it would be crazy. Anytime you don't like somebody, all you need to do is get drunk, let yourself go crazy, and you'll be able to destroy everything he has, and you're going to be potter. So it would be ridiculous if we had such an exemption. So it has to be that you're chayiv. The reason that it's that's somewhat of a chiddush, that's interesting, is that the Marshal writes over there that even if it happened on Purim, where it's a mitzvah to get drunk. Meaning one could argue, well, who told you to get drunk? And that's why you're chayiv. Just like the sleeping person. Who told you to go to sleep next to something that's fragile that could break? So that's why you're going to be chayiv. But if you went to sleep and someone put something next to you, you're not chayiv. But over here, I'll tell you who told you to get drunk. Chazal told you to get drunk. It's a Gemara Maseches Megillah. Chayiv inish levesume. Still says the Marshal, you're still going to be chayiv to pay any nezek that you do, because the mitzvah is only to drink until you fall asleep a little bit b'shechruso, like the Rambam writes in Hilchos Megillah, not to get to the point where you're doing damage because of your shechrus. However, the Ramah seems to disagree. The Ramah in Hilchos Purim in Siman Tav Reish Sadi Hei says that a person who does hezek because of Simchas Purim is potter from the hezek. So the question is, why is he potter from the hezek according to the Ramah? So the Prima Gadim Neishal Avram says that because we assume that the nizik is mochel on Purim. Minas Stam, he's mochel. And furthermore, he says when you do hezek on Purim, it's considered to be ba'ones. It's considered to be a little bit of an ones to do the hezek. In doing the hezek, because you're just enjoying Simchas Purim. But the Magen Avraham says that's only if you do it mitoch simcha. But if you're mechavin the hezek, if you're damaging just to damage, it's not that you were dancing lebedik and the floor was shaking and the vase fell. You know, that's mitoch simcha. But if you just go and you start breaking things, so that's certainly you're going to be chayiv even on Purim. So that's the Magen Avraham limiting a little bit the Ramah's kula in terms of damaging on Purim when a person is drunk. But if a person our Gemara says, other than Hezek, at least, he's generally potter from things that he does, from averus that he does. Amar Rabbi Chanina, kalamapik magin b'shas gaiva, sogrin v'chos min saros ba'ado, that anyone who's mapik magin b'shas gaiva. So what does that mean? So magin is a reference to tefillah. Anyone who shas gaiva means a reference to a time when a person is drunk. So a person who davens when he's drunk, so sogrin v'chos min saros ba'ado, they close off the saros for him. Shnemer gava afike maginim sagur chosim tsar. My mashmat ahay lof, I'm sorry, not daven, someone who doesn't daven, who passes up on davening, that a person should try to dafka, pass up on davening when he is drunk. My mashmadai apik lishna davurehu. Where do we see that the lashon of apik means to pass up on something? Dichsev achi bagdu kamo nachal ka'apik nicholim yavoru. That we say apik and yavoru in the same sentence. Ka'apik nicholim yavoru. Rabbi Yochanan amar kol she'enu mapik itmar. That it's someone who's enu mapik. So my mashma dahai and mapik doesn't mean to pass up. It means to reveal, to go and to say it. So anyone who doesn't daven v'shash shechruso is going to is going to be better off. So my mashmatai bar kulishan degliyehu dechsiv v'yura afike mayim v'iglu mostos tevel. So michti kray mashman bein lamar bein lamar. So you can make the pesukim work out either way. There are two ways to interpret the pesukim. Whether it's so either way it's going to work out. Either way it's the same basic message. May benayu. So what's the nafkamina between the two ways of interpreting the pesukim? Ika benayu Rav Sheshes. Nafkamina is Rav Sheshes' din. Rav Sheshes mostos shinase l'shamei. Marisli Rav Sheshes mar lasli Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes, when he would go to sleep, would tell the shamish if he took a nap while he was after he had drunk a little, he would tell the shamish to wake him up after a very short time. So is that a good idea or is it not a good idea? Is it better to sleep through without being woken up and miss davening, or is it better to get rid of the effect of the wine with a short nap and not miss davening? So that was the difference. Who holds what? So says Rashi, Masa she'nasa l'shamei, omelo ani cheni lishon ma'at, let me sleep a little bit. Ukshiagiyaz mantfila hikitsani. And he told the shamish, when zmantfila comes, wake me up. So bechanina damar avure bai lesle. The Rav Sheshes va'asul espalat sheir me'elav. Rabbi Chaninu says that you have to make the wine pass over you. You have to make the wine go away. So taking a little nap is not enough. You have to really put your put a full sleep into it in order to make the wine go away. And he would not hold like Rav Sheshes that it's okay to just take a little nap and tell the shamish to wake you up. You take a nap until you're ready to wake up, until your body is ready to wake up, because the effect of the wine has passed. That would be Rabbi Chanina. But the other day, Rabbi Yochanan would say, no, that as long as you do a little something, you don't have to put too much into it, do a little something to mildly affect the effect of the wine, to get rid of the effect of the wine a little bit. Anyone who can't focus should not daven. Because it says bitzar al yore, that a person shouldn't paskin. Yore literally means to paskin in a time of tsar. So when his mind is not at ease, so you shouldn't daven either if a person's mind is not at ease. So first of all, the Mordechai and the Agos Maimonides, is quoted in Shulchan Aruch and Simin Tzadites, both say that everything we're going to say in our Gemara about not davening because we can't focus, because there are minor distractions around, because we have much bigger distractions, and we are unable to focus, we can't focus half as well as they were able to focus, but we still daven anyway. This was only when they had a chance at having Kavanah anyway. But nowadays, we don't assume that we're going to be able to focus much better. We would never daven if we didn't daven any time that there was any distraction. So Shulchan Aruch says we don't follow this anymore. However, when it comes to shikr, that we do paskin in Shulchan Aruch. When it comes to shikr, not davening, that actually is paskined in Shulchan Aruch. Now the Mishnah Berurah writes that even so, even though we don't take any of these heterim to not daven, he says it's pashut that if a person wants to daven when he's when his mind is not there, when he's angry or when he's confused, when he's thinking about something, he should definitely try to focus. He should definitely try to remove those thoughts from his mind and try to calm himself down. Take a few minutes before you daven to try to focus yourself on what you're about to do. That's certainly obviously recommended, Mishnah Berurah says. It's just it's not a p'tur from tefillah. The fact that a person is not able to focus, that's not going to get a person out of the chiyuv to daven. Now, what's the pasuk that tells us we're not allowed to do this? Pasuk says bitzar al yore. So you look for the little letter next to bitzar al yore, and there is no little letter to tell you where that pasuk is. So Rashi says, why not? Rashi tells you, he doesn't ask why no little letter, that came later, but Rashi says, but dakdiach that I looked all over this. I looked all over for this pasuk. If Rashi didn't remember it, he probably didn't even have to look, right? He says, I can't find this anywhere in all Tanakh, such a pasuk. Maybe this pasuk is in Sefer Ben Sira. That's where the pasuk is. And he says, Shema. He must have not had Sefer Ben Sira or not wanted to read Sefer Ben Sira. But Rashi says, maybe it's in Sefer Ben Sira. And Chazal sometimes quote psukim from Sefer Ben Sira. So Tosus quotes from Rabbeinu Chananel, in the name of Rabbeinu Kolonimus, that in the Yerushalmi, it says this drasha from a different pasuk. It learns this drasha from not bitzar al yora, from v'shikaris v'lo miyayin, of being drunk but not from wine. So Tosus quotes from the Yerushalmi in Maseches Brachos that we learn from that pasuk that someone who's bamin aderech should not daven, someone who's daito trudol of mitzaraso should not daven, all from a different pasuk. In the name of Rabbeinu Tam, several Rishonim quote from Rabbeinu Tam that this drasha is learned from another pasuk, a pasuk in Iyov, that lo bitzar, the pasuk says that from his tefilos in Eis Tzara in the time of Tirda, person does not have the ability to organize his tefilos properly. And when it says bitzar al yora, that's paraphrasing a pasuk. I mean, the pasuk in Iyov uses the word bitzar, doesn't say al yora, it says some lo bitzar, they shouldn't daven bitzar. So we're just paraphrasing the pasuk, and Rabbeinu Tam says that happens all the time. Chazal don't always quote exactly word for word of the pasuk. A lot of times they'll paraphrase the pasuk. So that's maybe what's going on over here. So not like Rashi that it's from Sefer Ben Sira, no, it's a real legitimate pasuk, but we just happen to be paraphrasing the pasuk. Tos quotes a few examples of this, where we have this come up in Shas. The Gemara Maseches Shabbos Tav Kuf Chav Ches learns out that Hekdish is not Nifta B'Karkos. You can't redeem Hekdish on Karka from the Pasuk, V'nasna Kesef V'kam Lo. And Tosef there points out that there is no such Pasuk, V'nasna Kesef V'kam Lo. It means the Pasuk V'yosef Chamishas Kesef Erkecha Lo V'kam Lo. But the Gemara is Mekatzer, the Gemara is paraphrasing the Pasuk, so it says V'nasna Kesef V'kam Lo. The Gemara Maseches Brachos Tav Nun Hei and Beis quotes a Pasuk, Kalach Halomos Holchem. There's no such pasuk called Cholomos Holchem Achar Peh. Pasuk says Vayikasher Pasar Lanu Kein Haya. That's the pasuk in Bereishis that Kasher Pasar Lanu Kein Haya. Like Yosef interpreted, that's how it became. So we say to paraphrase the pasuk called Cholomos Holchem Achar Peh. Not all the Rishonim are so excited about this interpretation of Rabbeinu Tam, though. They say that after all, if the Gemara is going to paraphrase, normally the Gemara will paraphrase with words that are a more direct message to what we're trying to say. What are the words that we have over here? Bitzar al yora. Al yora. Yora is paskani alachos. We're trying to learn about tefillah. So if you're going to paraphrase, at least paraphrase better, right? Say bitzar al yispelel. The only word in the pasuk anyway is bitzar. So if you want to give a message, and the message we're trying to get is al yispelel, why would it say al yora? It sounds like it's quoting from somewhere, that this is not just paraphrasing. Also, the Ritva points out, it's very rare that when we paraphrase the pasuk, we'll just take only one word from the pasuk and build everything else by ourselves. Normally, at least two words will be from the pasuk. Take them, nasna kesef akamlo is at least two words, but to take one word from the pasuk, that's very unusual. So Rashi suggests that it must be from Sefer Ben Sira. So what's our attitude towards Sefer Ben Sira? So in the apparently Ben Sira was a chacham from the early generations. In the Yalkut Maril says that he was the son of Yirmiyahu Navi, and he has some sort of maisa with that he was the one that was Nisabra Bambatya. When we discussed Nisabra Bambatya, that maybe that's how he was conceived. Whatever, a whole wild maisa. So in Masech Sanhedrin, Daf Kufim Beis, Rav Yosef says that you're not allowed to read Sefer Ben Sira. So why not? It's based on the Mishnah over there. The Mishnah says that it's the Asur to read Sfarim HaChitzonim. So Rashi says that that's Sefer Ben Sira, because it has certain divrei avai, it has things that are not really Torah, and you're going to come to be mevatel Torah by being drawn in by all those other things that are there that are not Torah. But still, Rav Yosef says that there are dvarim tovim there also, that you're allowed to say b'shmo. So the Ritva says that when Chazal say things in the name of Ben Sira, it's muchach that it must be that they held that it's not asur to read from it, it's just they held that maybe you shouldn't be koveya seder in Ben Sira. But to be korei be'itim every once in a while in Ben Sira, that was okay. And they learned valuable lessons from Sefer Ben Sira. Like over here, Bitzar al Yorah, Rashi says it may have actually come from Sefer Ben Sira. Okay, Rabbi Chanina b'yom ha'ratach lo matzli. Rabbi Chanina, on a day that he was angry, he wouldn't daven, because again, he wasn't able to focus on a day that he was angry. Amar Bitzar al Yorah k'siv. After all, it says Bitzar al Yorah in some imaginary pasuk. Marukva b'yom ha'deshusa lo avin nafik lebedina. So, Mar Ukva's practice on a day that was cloudy or windy. On Rashi says Ruach Dromus Menasheves Bavachazaka, and a strong wind, a southern wind would come. He wouldn't go out to the Beis Din. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Hilchasa Bayat Silusa Kiyoma Di Istina. That Paschal Alachos, you need a clarity of mind like a day that the northern wind is blowing, which is a nice clear day. Amr Abayi, I amrli aim kariv kutcha lo tanoi. So Abayi would say, even if I had like a minor distraction, if my adopted mother would tell me to pass her the ketchup, to pass her the dip, so I wouldn't be able to learn. It would completely distract me from my learning. I need total focus when I learn. Amr Rava, I karatzen kina lo tanoi. Rava says, if I had to squash a louse, I wouldn't be able to learn. Mabrei Ravina avdele ime zayin mani lezayin yomi. Mabrei Ravina's mother would prepare for him seven different pairs of clothing for seven different days, so that he should never have lice in his clothing that he has to crush that are going to distract him. Amr Vidolo, Ivri Lele Elu Lashinasa, that nighttime was created for sleep. So the Gemara is going to record now various customs of Amoraim in regard to their learning schedule. So he said, nighttime is dafka for sleep. Amr Shimon Lakish Luivri Sierra Ella Ligirsa, that the moon was created so that we can learn by the light of the moon. Amr Le Rabbi Zeira Mechadin Shmaitech. So they said to Rabbi Zeira, you're very sharp in your learning. Amr Lehu Diyamami Ninhu. He says, whatever sharpness you find in my learning, that comes from my learning during the daytime. Amr Le Barti Rav Chisa, Rav Chisa. Rav Chisa's daughter said to Rav Chisa, Lo boy mar menem porta. So don't you want to sleep a little? She was worried about him. He never got any rest. He was always so busy learning. So Amr La, Hashta Asu Yomi Darichi Vekatini Venenem Tuve. He said, don't worry. There will be days that come that are very, very long days where I'll have plenty of chance to sleep. Meaning in the Kever, that after Lachar Me'ev Esrim, there will be plenty of time to sleep when I'm dead. Lachar Me'ev Esrim. Amr Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Anan Paulei Diyamami Anan. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, we are daytime workers. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Yosef Upara. Rav Acha bar Yaakov had a set quota in learning every day, and if he had to borrow from the time that he normally designated to learn during the daytime, he would pay it back at nighttime. Such an expression that if he would, let's say a person was learning a daf a day, every day, and he missed the daf during the day, so that night he would make up that daf, or whatever his quota was. Sefer Chaim Kanievsky used to use that expression, he used to use that lashon, that he has his chayvis, that these were his, he still does. still has such an expression, that this is his chayvus, that he has a chayvus to learn, whatever it is, 7, 8, 10 blad a day, however much he does, and plus Yerushalmi, plus he has a certain amount that aside from responding and writing tshuvas and dealing and writing his svarim and doing everything else, just basic chayvus that he has to do every single day. After he married off one of his kids, he told the mechutin he's not going to be able to come to Sheva Brachos because he's behind on his chayvus, and the mechutin went around collecting for him. They didn't know what he was talking. They assumed that he needed money after helping with the chasen or something. So he said, no, that's not the chayvus. The chayvus is the real chayvus. I have to be mashal my chayvus in learning. So like most of his expressions come straight from Chazal, right? Comes straight out of the Gemara. The Yosef Upara. That's the way Chazal viewed it as well. Amar Blazra, Abamin Aderech Al Yispalo Shloshi Yom. Someone who comes from the road, who's traveled, should spend 3 days not daven. Not daven for 3 days because he's not going to be able to focus. Shemar Vakavtim El Nor Haba the Ekbet Seim El Hanor Haba El Ahava V'Nachnesham Yomim Shlosha va'avina ba'am. So it's only after Yamim Shlosha, after coming from the road, that one is able to really focus. Avud Shmuel kiyasi ba'urcha lo matzli tosi yamei. Avud Shmuel, when he would go on the road, wouldn't daven for 3 days. Shmuel lo matzli be'beisa di'isbe shichra. Shmuel wouldn't even daven if there was beer in the house. The smell was too intoxicating. It would distract him from the smell. When the Rambam quotes this, though, the Rambam doesn't say that it would distract him. He says that it has a bad smell. It's a reach ra, and it had a din of tsoa, and that's why he wouldn't daven. Rav Papa lo matzli bebeisa disbe harsina. Rav Papa wouldn't daven in a house that had harsina. Also, the smell was some intoxicating smell that would distract him from the davening. Amr b'chanina. Well, actually, before we move on and discuss all that, let's discuss some of the things we just learned about. So first of all, someone's b'min aderech al yispalo shloshi yamim. The Meiri writes that anytime we say al yispalo, it doesn't mean don't daven at all. It means you should daven a tefillah katsara. A person should limit the davening a little bit to a shorter tefillah, but not to daven the full tefillah. Many of the Rishonim, the Rashba, the Ritva, Ran, say that this is only b'doros Rishonim where they were mechavi b'tefillah. Yosef is manenu. This is not nogay anymore, like we said in the Shulchan Aruch, that we're not knowing like this anymore. The Rambam says, "Abamin aderech vu oyef omeitzar asilo lispal achet siyashiv daito." Amru chacham yishe shloshi yam achi enuach v'tzkar daito v'achar kach yispalo. So Kesef Mishnah derives from the Rambam. There's a Rambam in the fourth parak of Hilchos Tefillah that it's not an isser for everybody. It's someone who's chash bi'atzmo, that he's ayef, that he's tired. A person feels that he's not able to focus. But if a person thinks that he has no problem davening, it's not an isser per se for the person to go and daven, even if he had just traveled. So the Iyun Yaakov raises the question: we have three tefillos in the day that were nitkan al yidei gimel avos, right? Where was Yaakov Avinu misakin tefillas arvis? Yaakov Avinu was misakin tefillas arvis vayivka b'makom. He was traveling on the road and he davened. So not only did he not wait 3 days after traveling daven, he was actually misakin the tefillah while traveling. So how's that okay? How's he allowed to daven if we say that when someone who travels right after he travels is not supposed to daven? So the Iyun Yaakov suggests that that's why Chazal say in Brachos Tachav Zayin that tefillas arvis is rishus, because it can't be that it would be tefillas arvis chov if it's yisod is based on a traveler. And then he says maybe also what's the reason that the tirdas haderech would stop a person from davening? That's because of a pachad of sakana. The Medrash and Kalas Rabbah, that Kol Adrachim are Becheskas Sakana. Yaakov Avinu had Malachim traveling with him wherever he went, and yet Kvitzas Aderech, he didn't have the same experience traveling that most of us had. So he doesn't have the Sakana, and therefore it's not an issue. In terms of the story, though, where the daughter says to the Amora, maybe you should get some sleep, and he says, I'll have plenty of time to sleep in the Olam HaEmes. So is that really appropriate? Meaning, should a person Dafka not sleep because he's going to have plenty of time to sleep in the Alma MS, right? Rabbi Yehudov here says Lo Nivra Laila L'Sheina, that Laila is created Dafka for sleep. A person is supposed to sleep at night. And yet the moon somehow is created Dafka for learning. So what is which is it? So the Bali Atos say from Rabbi Yehudov, we see that when Rabbi Yehudov says that night is for sleeping, he's talking about the short nights, Tkufas Tamuz, that when the days are very long and the nights are very short, so then you should sleep at night. And the Sefer Levi Yoschein says maybe this is a raya that it's roy for a person to sleep 6 hours at night, because that's how short the nights could get, the period of darkness, 6 hours. And the Tosus says the days in Tekufas Tammuz are 18 hours. Tosus says in Daf Nun Vav Amud Aleph that Tekufas Tammuz, the days are 18 hours long. That means the nights are 6 hours. So maybe that's a raya that a person is supposed to sleep for 6 hours. But then the Levi Yoschein quotes from the Gra that says that a person should sleep 4 hours a day. And the simon is, Yashanti Oz Yanuachli, that Al Yedei Shena of Oz, of 8 hours, Yanuach Li. Then you'll be able to be revived and rested for Li, Lamed Yud, for 40 hours. So out of every 48 hours, it should be 40 hours of wake time and 8 hours of sleep. That's not very much sleep, but that's what they say. They say B'Shem Legra, that he held it should be 40 hours and 8 hours. So Levi Yoschein says it's impossible. Can't imagine a person could sleep for 8 hours, then be awake for 40 hours. That's crazy. How could you be awake for 40 hours? So Chaim Kanievsky said, what do you mean? He never said that it has to be 8 hours straight. That's not the wisest way to split it up. You may want to split it up. 4 hours one day, 4 hours the next day. But what's the big deal? Of course he can. If you're Chaim Kanievsky, why not? To sleep for 4 hours each day. So the Rambam, very famously, the Rambam in Hilchos Deos tells us how much sleep. The Rambam says a person should sleep 8 hours out of every 24 hours. That Shlish Hayom is enough for a person to sleep. So the Magen Avraham just quotes the Rambam as a Yesh Omrim. And Magen Avraham says, similar to Yashanti Oz Yanuachli Oz is Begumatria 8. So, but he says, Akolafi Mashu Adam. A person has to know himself. Some people need a little more sleep. Some people need a little less sleep. Depends on age. Sometimes when a teenager biologically, physiologically needs more sleep than an adult needs. An older person needs more sleep than a younger adult needs. So it depends on the age of a person. It depends on a person's makeup. Also, it depends on how much effort a person has to put in, how much concentration he has to put into what he does during the day. Some people do things that are extremely exhausting, whether mentally exhausting or physically exhausting, and some people do jobs that aren't really so exhausting. They're pretty laid back and it's not so difficult. So all these things are, you know, Hakolafi Mashu Adam, like the Magen Avram says. Okay, Vaitu in the Gemara. Where am I? I'm Rabbi Chinin. Kol nispata b'yeno yeshbo midas kono. Shnemar v'yareich Hashem es reich enyachach. So now we're going to go through the different positive things that come out of wine. So someone who's calmed down from wine to overlook wrongs that others commit against them. That's a good thing. I'm Rabbi Chinin. Kol misyashi b'yeno yeshbo das ayin zakenim. If can clear a person's mind to the point that he's like one of the 70 zakenim. Yayin nit. Another characteristic of Yayin is that Yayin is Gematria 70, Sod is Gematria 70, Nichnas Yayin Yatzasod. When wine comes into a person, a secret comes out of a person. Wine can help comfort mourners. It used to be that they were masaking many, many kosos of Yayin. The Gemara in Ksuva says in a base level, 10 kosos of Yayin, but then they realized that that wasn't 10, it was a little too much for Beis Avel. Didn't do much for the mood of the Beis Avel, to keep an appropriate mood in the Beis Avel. So they did away with that. But that was initially the idea. And sometimes it could help Hashem reward evil people in this world, so that in the next world, in Olam Haba, they'll be ready for their punishment. Shnemar tznu schar la'oved. Am Rabbi Chanan bar Papa. Kol she'in yayin nishpach b'toch beis kemayim, eino b'chal bracha. If someone does not have wine pour in his house like water, he's not b'chal bracha. Just like the lechem that the pasuk refers to is the kind of lechem that you could spend meiser money on, so to the mayim that the pasuk refers to is the kind of mayim that you could spend meiser money on. Umaynihu yayin. What kind of water can you spend meiser money on? You're not allowed to spend meiser money on water. It must be that it's a reference to yayin. This gemara is quoted by the Rama in Shulchan Aruch and some Reish Sadivav in Hilchos Avdala. He says by the Kos Avdala the minhag is to be shofei to pour the wine out on the ground, because so we do it as a simen tov to the beginning of the week to pour out some wine on the ground. And the makar is a shilta gibor on the Mordechai b'shem matzasi kasim. So the Taz says that the Rama must explain that that's the simen bracha. bracha of the sugya is to actually pour the wine. But the Taz isn't convinced that that's what the Gemara is talking about. He says, no, it means that we treat wine like it's not the biggest deal, to the point that if someone spills wine in your house, you're not going to get angry at them and start yelling at them, why did you spill the wine, and get all upset about it? So that's a siman bracha, that you're so wealthy that you don't care so much about the wine. It's okay if a little bit of wine spills. That's how the Taz says. Besides, Bizo Yochlin, all the Achronim have trouble with Ramah. How are you allowed to do this? Now that would be Mevaza Ochlin. So probably the Ramah means it's not a Bizo Yochlin. You're doing it as a Simon Bracha. So that's not a Bizo Yochlin. It's a Bizo Yochlin when you don't do it as a Simon Bracha. Where you can't do it is if you have Shemitah wine. Shemitah wine, you're not allowed to use anything for anything other than drinking. So then you're not allowed to pour it out over the rim of the cup or to pour it on the floor. The Ramah says pour on the floor. Later Achronim say we pour on the table or the counter is also okay. Kabbalistically, I think they say dafka the floor, but I'll pee the Gemara, I'll pee the halacha, the table of the counter is fine. So mainu yain v'kakari le'mayim, it's called mayim. Inishmach beso k'mayim ikah bracha v'ilo lo. Amar Rabbi, v'shlosh dvar madam nikar. There are three ways you can tell a person's character: v'koso, u'b'kiso, u'b'kaso. In how he drinks, in how he spends his money. B'kiso says Rashi, if he does, if he's honest in his business dealings, and b'kaso, and in terms of his anger, that he doesn't get too angry too easily. V'amilei af besachko, and some say in his schok also, in what he, whether lo yimali adam piv schok bal mazeh, a person's not supposed to be mali his mouth with schok in this world, that it should be in measure, it should be in a measured way, his schok. Amar Rav. Now back to Erevin topic. Yisrael v'nachri b'pnimis v'yisrael b'chitzona. What if you have a Jew and a non-Jew live in an inner chatzer, and just one Jew lives in the outer chatzer? So ba ma'is lefnei Rebbe v'asar. So the ma'is came to Rebbe, and Rebbe asked the Jew living in the outer chatzer from carrying in that chatzer. V'lefnei Rebbe Chia v'asar. Shaila came to Rebbe Chia also. He said it's asar. Yosef Rabbi Rav Yosef v'shili pirkei Rav Sheshes v'yosef Rav Sheshes v'kamar k'man amar Rav l'shmaitei k'Rebbe Meir. So he tried to figure out, who is Rav assuming like when he said that it's asar for the Jew in the outer chatzer to carry in his chatzer? Is he assuming like Rebbe Meir, that a non-Jew makes carrying asr in the chatzar even when only one Jew lives with him? Remember we had that machlokas, whether it's enough to have one Jew and one non-Jew, that's already creates an isr. So karkish rabba reshe, so rabba shoku said, yeah, that must be what he's assuming. Amr of Yosef, trey gavri rabri karabon litu bahaim milsa. How could two people, Rav Sheshes and Rabba, both think that this agrees with Rabbi Meir? They're so mistaken. Ik Rabbi Meir, lam li yisrael b'chitzona. If you want to tell me Rabbi Meir, then why do you need to set up the case where there's a yisrael in the outer chatzar? Just having the yisrael and the Nachri in the inner chatzar is enough to already create the Isser. V'chitev ma'isr shoye kachay. And if you say, well, no, that happened to have been the case. That was the shayla that was asked. V'abomine me'rav, p'nimi b'mekomo mahu. But they asked Rav, what about the guy in the inner chatzar? V'amr lehen mutter. And he said, it's mutter for the guy in the inner chatzar. So don't tell me they hold a Krab Meir. V'elamai. So second possibility. So what is Rav holding like? Krab Lozer and Yaakov. He must be similar to Krab Lozer and Yaakov, that you need two Jews together with the non-Jew in order to create the Isser. The Jews need to asr on each other in order for the guy to be a problem. But wait a second, he said the two Jews need to asr on each other, but they're in two different chatzeros over here, so they don't asr on each other. The guy in the outer chatzer is all alone in his chatzer, so the Jew in the inner chatzer doesn't affect him, so why should the guy in the inner chatzer affect him? Ella, third possibility, Rabbi Akiva. So it must be that we assume like Rabbi Akiva that the Jew in the inner chatzer, since he has the right to pass through the outer chatzer, will make it asr for the Jew in the outer chatzer to carry in his chatzer. Well then, lamali nachriya, fili Yisrael nami. Then why do you need a guy in the inner chatzer? Even if it was just a Jew in the inner chatzer, that would be enough. So Amar Rav Unabrei Rav Shul Liolam Krevelos Rav Yaakov Ukrevi Akiva. No, rather the fourth possibility is we have to assume a combination of Rav Lozer Ben Yaakov and Rav Akiva. V'achamai Eskim Gonchi Irvu, and the two Jews made an eruv. So Rav Lozer Ben Yaakov, that he's speaking about a case that two Jews made an eruv. So the presence of the guy causes the guy in the outer chatzer to be usher. Why? Because you hold like Rabbi Akiva that a regular mutaris b'makoma is osar shalom b'makoma. That the guy's right to walk through the outer chatzer makes it ki'ilu he's in the outer chatzer, and that creates the isser. And this is a case where there are two Jews and one guy, like Rabbi Lozer Ben Yaakov, that it's only a problem when there are two Jews and one guy. Why isn't the Jew himself assering? Because he made an eruv with the Jew. So the Jew himself doesn't asser. yisur. Avalecha nafri lo asir. So it's only the presence of the guy that creates the yisur. If there's no guy, it would not create the yisur. Vayimine Rabbi Lazar me'rav yisrael v'nachri b'chitzon v'yisrael v'pnimus. What if it was reversed? You had a Jew and a guy in the outer chatzar and a Jew alone in the inner chatzar. Mahu. What's the din then? Hasam taimim mishum d'shchiach d'dayir d'mirtas nachri v'savar hashta asi yisrael va'amr li yisrael davagabach hecha. Maybe in the case where the Jew and the non-Jew were both in the inner chatzar, that's a common case where a Jew would live alone with a non-Jew in an inner chatzar, because the Jew living in the inner chatzar knows that the non-Jew isn't going to kill him, because the Jew from the outer chatzar may show up at any time and say, hey, where's my friend? What happened to him? And he's going to suspect if there's something that went on. But if a Jew and a non-Jew live in an outer chatzar, that's very unlikely to happen. There's no reason to make any sort of gezeira, because remember, Shvisas Nachri doesn't really count as a dira anyway, so that's no reason to make any sort of gezeira. Would be very uncommon. Because if the guy is ever questioned, what happened to my Jewish friend, he'll be able to say, oh, he went out of the chatzar. If they were living in the inner chatzar, he can't just say he went out, because I would have seen him go out, I'm in the outer chatzar. But if they were in the outer chatzar and the lone Jew was in the inner chatzar, so the guy could just say he went out. Or maybe no, the Jew and the non-Jew in the outer chatzar is also, he's going to have a sense of fear, because he's going to think he's going to get caught at any point. So he said, yeah, give knowledge to a wise man, he'll be wiser, meaning to say that the non-Jew does create an Isser to carry in the outer chatzar in this case as well. In both cases, both where the non-Jew and the Jew were in the inner, and where the non-Jew and the Jew were in the outer chatzar. Okay, I guess we'll pick up from there tomorrow.